Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. I'm here to speak about the Conventions Bureau, which I understand is, of course, on tonight's agenda. There are really a couple issues to address, but first I'd like to thank Councilman Ross for meeting you had on Friday between the hoteliers and the chamber, and then I think that's part of the first substantive meeting where the groups have gotten together. The two issues are short-term and long-term. The short-term issue is, what are we going to do now to help the hoteliers to avoid a gap in their future bookings? I think they're pretty clear on that. They would like for us as a city to contract with the CAB, Convention and Visitors Bureau, to deal with it. They're the only entity that's available, ready, willing, and able to help them right now. The other options, great options for the long run, such as the Perimeter Marketing Council, as well as working with other bureaus throughout the metro area. But those solutions cannot be met in the short term. Be clear, there's a ramp-up associated with this that will create a gap if we don't deal with the DCVB. And secondly, that there will be costs associated with their development as a paid organization. So I see that as the only solution. And they've got the experience, and while they may not be the best organization in, as far as Convention and Visitors Bureau goes, they are adequate for the needs of the hoteliers. I think they're pretty clear on that. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure they will if I'm wrong. The long-term governance issue is the second point. And there are a couple things associated with that. First, I understand the concept that kind of drives more than it is, and that is, you know, branding Dunwoody. Let me just be clear. All of us want Dunwoody to have a good name in the market that represents our business as well as the community at large. But realize that's not why we created a city. We created a city for three basic reasons: zoning, code enforcement, and public safety. I don't think any of us, when we were arguing for a city, really said, hey, the next thing we need to do is brand our city. The brand I'd like to know our city for, have our city known for, is, you know, we are a great city that provides great services in the basics. And, you know, we've had a few challenges lately, and you're dealing with some now, from ad valorem taxes on cars to some of the telecommunication things. You've got a lot on your plate. You know, let's have to do now. And the other thing is work with the community, which is important, as we've heard from General Shorter, to be able to work with the community to help brand us. But the issue of whether the governance should be an authority or a nonprofit is very important. And I've taken a lot of time to discuss that. I'm going to try to sum it up this way. The governance of an authority is really more of a government model. And the governance of the nonprofit is a private sector solution. The accountability for the two is identical. Let me restate that. The accountability for the two is absolutely identical. However, control and the ability to issue bonds distinguish them. You will have more control as a city council if you have an authority. A lot more control. In contrast, the private sector one, the hoteliers and business community will have more control. When it comes to bonding authority, we already have that with the Dunwoody authority that can go ahead and issue bonds, as you've already authorized in your some of your first meetings. You have the authority to issue bonds today with a broader reach, quite frankly, in terms of anything that we might be able to do and need. So let me just suggest to you then, will you look at the differences between the two? Which one will do a better job is really what should divide them. And let me say this. When you look at the Alpharetta model, which works closely with the North Fulton Chamber on a number of things, in fact, they have board members on both that are the same. They do a great job, and they are C6. Finally, my time? It is? Okay. I will leave the words to you all. And can I just close with this person who died, Mr. Mayor?
Sure.
You may not know her, but you will know Dave Benson, her uncle. He was the pastor at the Kingswood Methodist Church. Keep the family in your prayers, because he only recently left here.
Thank you, Mr. Dallin. Joe DeVita.
What the Chamber of Commerce is requesting from City Council is to let us help you. Chamber of Commerce has been established in August, and we have been working very hard in helping the city. We took on this property, this little railroad house, that had many problems with it, and it turns out to be a great front door for the city. It turns out to be a great place for people to visit. It doesn't really turn out to be the best place for the Chamber of Commerce, but we're doing our part in holding down this property and giving the opportunity for the Preservation Trust and others and the community to work on a project to save this property, because this property is at risk. We've worked on a number of other projects. One of them is trying to get a Dunwoody guidebook established. And this a Dunwoody guidebook and Dunwoody directory are very much needed in our community. And we've been patiently waiting for the City Convention and Visitors Bureau effort to come together so we would have an active partner to work with in promotion and marketing for tourism and conventions and trade shows in Dunwoody. Of course, it's been a little frustrating for all of us who have the frustration of getting a city started. You know, things take time. What I do is I'm going to, some of you who haven't received this, this is a very good paper. Okay? You if you have a copy, I'll send you that.
Excuse me?
I sent you a copy of that.
There's been many papers and books written on this subject. Chambers of Commerce have been around our nation a lot longer than Convention and Visitors Bureaus. Matter of fact, it was quite common for a Chamber of Commerce to form a CVB and then spin it off. It wasn't until the bed tax came into place where CVBs became a funded entity in its own right and became a political entity in its own right. And that caused a lot of tension with Chambers of Commerce and CVBs because their missions are so closely aligned that they find themselves in competition or in a relationship where a member or a visitor coming to Dunwoody would come to the Chamber of Commerce to get questions about the city, only to find that they couldn't get all their answers at the Chamber of Commerce. They had to be referred to the Convention and Visitors Bureau, find out where to go and what to do in their city. So there's been, that paper was written, I believe, in 2001. And what it does is it really identifies strategic partnerships and strategic alliances between like organizations. And it really shows how you can get a great economy of scale when a Chamber of Commerce, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the city, other civic groups are active partners in an effort to promote the great city it lives in. And that's one of the things that we are asking the City Council to understand is that we need the city to help us help you. And when we have meetings and committees on this, this needs to be done in an open forum where we can bring in the core expertise and of the other organizations that can give us guidance in this process before we make decisions. So what I'm asking the City Council is before we decide on the structure of how we're going to do our Convention and Visitors Bureau, that we have some open public forums on this, that we can bring in the state agencies and the other nonprofits to guide us through this process. We do not need an organization now in order to fund some of the immediate needs. I mean, we have options at our table that the city can fund some marketing efforts. And
Mr. Navita. All right, here's a last card for public comment. We'll move on. Does council, any council members have any additional comment before we move to discussion? Seeing that there are none, we're on the Boykin status report. Warren?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Pursuant to the direction of the council, this memorandum that I put into your package shows the costs incurred as of February 28, 2009 with our contract with Boykin International. February 2009 costs all in $77,748, cumulative cost $425,927. Boykin personnel are still working on the two following projects. One is to finish out of the City Hall Police Station, which will be several months to complete. And then also the final completion of the compilation of policies and procedures, not the actual creation of these policies. Attached in your packet is a fully detailed report directly from Boykin that lists in detail the things they've been up to for the past month. One item, just to give you a preview, we will come back in April. The contract with Boykin ends at the end of April unless amended. So we're going to suggest continuation of that contract probably until June at that time, but that action won't take place until April. I'd be happy to answer any questions y'all might have.
John? The contract with Boykin gives a specific amount per month. You're already telling us that you're going into June. Take it for granted you're going to come back to us and give us maximum amount allowable per month when you come back to us? Thank you.
Where do we stand contract of 8 versus
It's $425,967 is the cost as of February 28, 2009. Total contract is $575,000.
So we got another $150,000.
On the extension, do you see that that can be done within that budget? Or?
We are working right now to get some estimates on what the cost will be. So I don't know at this point. I'm hopeful that, you know, some of it's just construction related, so it's a little bit difficult to guess, but what we'll do is, Castle Mahagan, we'll put some maximums into the contract that I can't exceed.
All right, there are cumulative cost limits by the month on this contract. Where are we on that?
We're under that.
We are under that? Mm-hmm. Okay. I would just say, you know, nobody knows, we all know, but, you know, work closely with Boykin, they've done a tremendous job. But I think we really, really need to start to take a good hard look at this and cut back as much as we can and pick up the work in-house. I know they're doing a lot of work on the build-out, but I think we really need to put a limit on the amount here. We're getting well up into the money here, and I think that's something we really need to restrict.
Yeah, well, the only two activities left that they're doing are the build-out and the finish-up of the policies and procedures. And policies and procedures at this point is at a point where probably it would be prohibitive for us to try and finish up the last eighth of it that's remaining. So that would really be the end of it. We've taken out all of the other functions they were providing to us previously and have taken that over pretty much as of end of December. With our internal staff, so we've already taken that step.
Okay, I'm just looking at monthly costs for February, and I think you need to take a good look at that as far as going down line here and keeping that under control, probably more on looking at more on a weekly or bi-weekly basis or a monthly basis. We need to cut back where we can. That's just an extremely large expenditure, which I thought this time we would be kind of So on the build-out warrant, it's really all project management related as far as...
Yeah, I mean, it's... From the phasing, I would expect it actually those costs to start to decline fairly rapidly. Now that we've got, our staff plans, we're under construction, all the major decisions have been made. So it's just a matter of implementation on the contractor side. So I think that we'll start to see a rapid decline of the hourlies on those costs as we get closer to build out.
I'd just like to make one comment about this. We had a proposal on the table when this council was elected back in September that called for a startup fee of $1,200,000. When Boykin finishes this contract at $575,000, he would have effectively executed what was a startup plan from the last proposal that we had before we decided to go a different direction. And so he ended up really saving the city, done what he's some $600,000 based on where we think he's going to end up. And I think he's done a tremendous job.
Maureen, a loaded question, but what's your assessment of Boykin at this stage from your vantage point?
I think they've done an excellent job of taking us from the point, when I started work as the first city employee, I didn't have a desk, so we really needed a lot of services, and I think that it was critical that got us through the RFP process, and then once we took on the three firms, a lot of the load was lifted, and we were able to bring that internally, but a lot of the coordination issues, we couldn't have done it without them. I think it's been done at a reasonable cost, so... I'm very happy with it, and at this point, I think from the meetings I attended early on, they said one of their key goals was to work themselves out of a job, and I'm trying to assist them in that process now. from a cost standpoint, but certainly we owe them a debt of gratitude, I think.
Other questions for Warren?
Given the policy and procedure manuals, it looks like they've done most of the first drafts. Most of the first drafts are completed.
Yeah.
You're at a point where you could probably take over.
I'd say the last eighth of the project. I was just briefed last week on it. And it's just a matter at this point of just getting the final proofs and then putting them in the books and then getting them in front of y'all with the ones that are appropriate to bring to council.
All right, any other questions for Warren?
Thank you.
All right, report of the overlay task force.